Hi, this is Elise.
And this is Hannah.
And this is Love Her, Leave Her Wild, episode two.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We getting real. We getting real on this one. This episode is about
divorce.
The D.
Oh, yeah.
Divorce.
Yeah. The big D.
Yeah. We're not there. We're not there yet, but we will be talking about the D at some point. Okay, so divorce. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about that dirty word, divorce.
I know. I hate that it's so taboo.
It is, right?
And like, I hate when people, every time I say I'm divorced, people go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh, why are you sorry? Congratulate me, actually. I'm living my best life here.
You know, I don't know if I've heard that yet.
Yeah.
Huh. That would be really awkward. I think I just look at them very confused. Like, he didn't die.
I know. The first time it happened to me, I was getting my tires or brakes fixed or something. And it always goes this way with, what's your last name? And I tell them my last name. And I'm like, oh, I know. It was my married name. And they're like, was. And I'm like, yeah, I'm divorced. And they go, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I'm not. And they just look at me like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah. It was a cause for a celebration.
Yeah.
Best decision of my life.
Right. So I came from divorced parents. My mom and dad divorced when I was, I think, 7. Sounds about right. And so I knew that if I got married, that I would not get divorced. And I would try my hardest to, you know, work through any issues that we had. And it was just something that, I mean, nobody walks in wanting a divorce, but I had told them so many times, you know, I just don't really believe in divorce, and whatever happens, that we can get through it, except for if he cheats. I did tell him that. And then if he cheated, I'd cut his dick off. But other than that, I did say that I would. Yeah. Didn't you just like slash some tires though? I'm talking like real.
There's a whole song.
Well, let's just say there's part of me that's just, you know, I don't know. I'm a little assertive. Let's just call it that way.
Just a little.
Just a little. Whatever. Y'all know me.
We'll get there.
But, you know, it was just in my head that I could work through anything. You know, I have experience in the mental health field, and, I've just learned so many good things over the years. And, you know, so I put all of my tactics for marriage, for relationships, for communication into my marriage. And I always planned on it. What I always told myself was, if it doesn't work, I want to be able to lay my head down at night and say, I tried all I could.
Yeah.
So that,
and I would say that you did that.
I did do that. So for me, it was, I mean, as much as our followers have followed along, I think it was a surprise to them. But let me just tell y'all that it was pretty much a surprise to me too. So it's not like I was hiding anything. It just, honestly, I don't know. We'll get into that. So anyway, so that's my background on how I felt about divorce and, you know, coming into it all. So.
Yeah. For me, I, grew up in the church. I was always told divorce is not an option. It wasn't. It was, you know, God hates divorce, and you don't get divorced. You suck it up and you make it work. And even if you're miserable, you made a commitment to each other and to God, and you were bound as one person and soul for the rest of your life. And my parents, wow, it's the first time I'm going to say they were married.
Oh,
yeah. For 29 years. This would have been their 30th anniversary. My mom just passed away in January. And they were separated three times, I would say, in my young childhood years. And there were probably times that they should have gotten divorced if they were being, you know, like honest with what was going on in their life and stuff, and they didn't. I'm thankful they didn't, but they worked through it, and, you know, there was a lot of hard stuff, and we'll get into that probably later. But yeah, I just came from parents who their parents were divorced. And my parents didn't get divorced, and we didn't get divorced. And funny thing, my brother got divorced probably a year before me. And then I got divorced, and I think that was a hard hit for my parents to take. As their young kids. I mean, we also got married way too young. I got married at, in my opinion, way too young for me. I got married at 22 and then shortly after I turned 23. And we were married almost five years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Divorce, it was never an option. I didn't think it was ever an option, but it wasn't a surprise to me that it ended in divorce, because we got married for all of the wrong reasons. We didn't know what love meant. We didn't really love each other in a way that a married couple does. It wasn't surprising. We had talked about it a lot. It was a conversation that came up quite a bit. With two people who just essentially outgrew each other, never should have gotten married in the first place. But the best thing that came out of our marriage was our two kids. And so I will forever be grateful, and my marriage was worth it because of them. But that doesn't mean that it was easy and pretty, and I made it look very easy and pretty on Instagram. I think that was my way of convincing myself that we could make it work. And if it looked pretty and perfect and easy, it would eventually become pretty and perfect and easy. And that was not the case. I was alone a lot of the stuff that we were going through, and didn't really have friends that I could tell things to without it being taboo or shamed. And that all just kind of led to a very bad spiral of a couple of years, which led to a awful, awful ending. But we are a year into our divorce, and I would say it's the best it could be for two parents who, one, live on opposite sides of the country, but, relationship wise, we are much better as friends. We had to hate each other to get there, I think. It was pretty rough, but yeah, that's a little bit of my story. I'm not sure how much I'll get into of it all, because it's pretty, pretty intense. I met him when I was 11 years old. He was in my life. He's been in my life longer than over half of my life. So, navigating that is interesting, because he was my best friend for so long. But essentially becoming a mom changed me. He joined the military. He changed. We just outgrew each other. I changed and he didn't. He stayed the same. And things that I was okay with before, I was not okay with, and I had to find my voice in that. And here I am. So
using your voice.
Using my voice, doing this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So different. Our stories are so different. I didn't marry until much later. I focused on my career in my 20s, had fun. I traveled. I did all of the things. And then by about 30 is when I started feeling the pressure from, you know, society. Feeling the pressure from someone like my mom, who was mailing me actual ripped out articles from a magazine about freezing my eggs. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, my mom sent me something. How nice. And I open it up and it's an article about freezing my eggs.
Oh, wow.
And at some point she did tell me, you know, if you just, you know, at this point you can just go to a bar and find some guy to impregnate me. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know she really wanted to have kids, huh?
She did. She really wanted to, you know, she didn't have a grandkid. And there's my sister who's 2 years younger and my brother who's 13 years younger. And so at that point it was just, okay, Elise, you're, you know, I had my career and living by myself. So she was ready. And I definitely felt that pressure to provide. My friends started getting married. They started having kids. And I started thinking, you know, was there something wrong with me? You know, am I guess, I don't know. I was always been kind of the supporting actor in my life, for my friends. And, you know, I just thought, well, I don't know if it's ever going to be time for me. And I started to lower my standards a lot. One of my friends pointed it out once and I was just like, wow, you're right. And then immediately told myself that is not true and then kept on. And so by the time I didn't meet my ex, I reconnected with him. We had gone to middle school and high school together and he wanted the same things as I did, which was family, you know, marriage and kids. And I just thought, okay, well, you know, we're both in our early 30s and let's just do this. Cause I really felt that time crunch. Looking back, that's not like the foundation of a successful marriage.
You don't say.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Because I didn't know.
Well, now I'm telling y'all that is not a foundation for a successful marriage. And my mom had been divorced twice, married three times. So that again was something I didn't foresee for myself. But like I said, who sees that for themselves? They're not on their wedding day going, huh, I wonder what it's going to be like when we divorce.
Yeah.
You know,
5 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we were married about the same amount of years, I would say. I was together with him 7 years and married about five.
Same.
And I had to learn a lot about how we perceive things. And, you know, I immediately was terrified. I was absolutely terrified because I had put up my career on hold for Felicity. I had worked all the way up until I had her. I worked that day. So I worked my, you know, at my job. And then I went home to go to the doctor's office for my check. I was 39 wees pregnant. And, I worked all the way up until that day. So I put my career on hold to stay home with her. We didn't know that she was going to have Down syndrome. So that's what I did. I trusted him to, you know, he found a job. He wasn't working while I was pregnant or before that. He found a job when I think he started the day that she got out of the NICU. So I had put my career on hold, and I'm a person that pours myself into the people that I love, the family, friends, whatever. So I poured everything into him and Felicity. So when this happened, I was utterly terrified. And I was terrified because I obviously didn't plan this. Like I said, I was kind of blindsided. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't done anything really for myself for 5 years. And then I felt like a failure. I felt like an outright failure. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. And they weren't pretty emotions, but all the while I have to be a mom, you know, I can't climb in bed and cry for days. I couldn't, you know, I had to be a mom. And so that was just, that was incredibly hard for me and hard for me to talk about, because like I said, I felt so embarrassed. And, you know, and I try to look inside myself and my emotions about it. And, why do I feel so embarrassed? You know, I don't even know. I think it's expectations. I think it's how people look at me.
You don't like being blindsided and not knowing things and looking stupid.
That's very true. And Hannah would know that about me. I don't like being blindsided. I don't like looking like I'm stupid. And I felt really stupid. And it hit a lot of those, you know, that schema that I have, that self-narrative of I'm unlovable, I'm not worthy, which comes from years of abuse. And it hit that and I reverted. I mean, I had therapy before. I've had therapy a few times in my life to work out a lot of stuff. And I felt like I really reverted at that point.
Brian and I, like I said, we've known each other since we were 11. I was 21, 22, getting out of a pretty bad relationship. I was a pretty toxic person, I would say, more so involving my family at that time. So,
which, let me pop in and just say, like, how insightful that is to recognize that you were the toxic person at that point. Cause I know that all of us can be the toxic person at some point, but continue. Sorry.
I'm proud of you. Thank you. Couldn't do it without you. I got out of a really bad engagement, I guess. Reconnected with Brian. We had been friends for years. Started texting, started hanging out. We started dating as a joke, just to get that relationship away from my life. And then probably 3 or 4 months in, we're like, we're either going to like really date and like make this serious or not. So we decided to make it serious and, got engaged after dating for a year and then married a year later. And, I struggled a lot, with being cheated on in every relationship I'd been in. And to me, everyone was just going to cheat on me. And I was 22, I was in the church. Sex was like not something you did before marriage, though I had already had sex before I got married. And if I was going to get married to this guy, I needed to wait. And then it was like, well, I'm 22, you know, want to have kids. You got to get married first. So let's just get married. He's here, you know, it's whatever. We've quote unquote worked through our stuff. And, so we started planning a wedding. And honestly, it was a month before my wedding. I was crying in a car with my other friend, Jackie, who was a bridesmaid. And I was just like, I don't feel like I should be feeling this way a month before my wedding. And she was like, yeah, this doesn't seem right. Like, are you sure you want to do this? And then I just felt like I can't let all these people down. Like, I legit said that to her. I was like, I can't let my mom down. They've spent a lot of money on this wedding. I can't, you know, prove these people right that think that like, we shouldn't be getting married. And just all of the wrong reasons motivated me to get married. And I felt like by proving people wrong and by not letting people down, I was going to find some identity and like worth in that. And that if I could make this work and fix everything that was going on, I would feel better and I would love myself more. And if he could love me better, then I would love myself more. And, you know, that didn't happen. But essentially, they were correct. I mean, we were too young. We didn't know each other. We got married for all the wrong reasons. And I just felt like if I proved them wrong, you know, I would be good enough and I would be lovable and worthy. And I was going to do that in this marriage and I was going to put everything I had into it, even though I knew it was flawed and not right, and make it work. And kind of, I think I also romanticized my parents' relationship and just thought, like, you know, if I could, given all the hard stuff, really fix this and again prove everybody wrong, it would be some epic love story. And I just really ultimately wanted to be a mom, and I never allowed myself to love anybody in the right type of love way, that, you know, weathers all storms and conquers the good and the bad. And, you know, I became a mom and realized, like, this is my child. I love my child. And I couldn't love him the way I had been loving him, which essentially was unfair to him because that's all he had known from me. And I stopped being able to give that to him because I was now a mom to a child with special needs, and that consumed all of me. And I didn't get a lot of help. He was gone a lot. And so that created a really big divide. We emotionally couldn't connect. We emotional maturity just did not get, we were not on the same page. We mm-hmm. essentially wanted different things. We couldn't communicate. It was just a hot mess. So we separated, not the year we got divorced. So like almost a year before we got divorced, January, we had that talk and we knew the relationship was going nowhere and we weren't fixing it, because our big move to Indiana was supposed to be what was redeeming our marriage and, you know, was going to fix it, and we were going to need each other and work on it. And all the while I'm portraying this beautiful love story on Instagram of this military couple where he's gone and she waits for him, and, you know, they're this perfect little family with a special needs child and a little girl on the way. And it was not that. And that was it. We just, a whole 6 months of a lot of bad stuff and mistreating each other and doing a lot of wrong things, boiled down to a really big fight. And yeah, we hated each other and we got divorced, and he signed off rights to the kids and I packed up and I moved to California.
And for me, it just was a complete mismatch. And for him too, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it was a mismatch because he's a terrible person. We're just nothing alike.
Yeah.
But I just thought I thought I could make it work for the both of us. And I'm I'm a communicator, you know this.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You know, even if I'm upset, I'm not perfect. I'll get upset, but I try to bring it rationally for the most part, unless I'm really mad. But for the most part, I do try to talk about things. So I did. I tried to talk with him. Whereas I'm a communicator, he absolutely shut down. And that was a big problem, I think, for us. And I've always wanted to be a mom, just like you. And I love being a mom, but damn, did I lose myself.
Oh yeah. Me too. Not as well.
You're like, yeah, you totally did, yeah, Elise.
You totally lost yourself.
What's wrong with you, girl? Yeah, I totally lost myself in the whole situation. And, you know, I had glimpses of that, I think. And then I would squash it down and think, no, this life is fine. You know, I found ways to fill me up and to make me happy. And it's through my advocacy, through my friends, because my friends are the most amazing friends you can have. For me, you know, that's how I found, like, my emotional fulfillment was through my friends, was through being a mom. And And that was enough for me. I was just like, okay, I'm emotionally fulfilled. I'm doing things like I'm passionate about, which is advocacy for my daughter and others with disabilities. And, you know, I'm just kind of chugging along and thinking, okay, well, I guess, you know, this is good. I felt invisible. I felt like an invisible housekeeper. I just completely lost myself. And I didn't even realize it until June, July, August, October, 5 months later, after we had split up. And when I started dating a particular guy, he reminded me of who I was and who I am that I had completely lost. And it just made me so sad, but then so excited to find myself again. And so I think when you deal with divorce, you know, for me, I vacillated in between feelings of like happiness and so excited for the possibilities of, you know, meeting someone that was meant for me, you know, making that choice when I'm ready to do that again, it's going to be the right choice. I don't feel like I'm in a race anymore. And then there's times where I still feel like a failure, or I'm still scared. I mean, I'm scared every day. I don't know what my life is truly going to be like. During this whole process between splitting up and getting divorced and my dad dying, hello, anti-anxiety meds for me, which I've never been on before, because I mostly don't suffer from anxiety. Maybe, you know, your regular amount of anxiety, but this for me is situational anxiety. And, you know, it's just, like I said, you know, I go from, okay, I'm happy. And I am happy because I've heard so many people say how much happier I look or sound. And even people commenting like, wow, I didn't know that you were funny. Because I didn't feel funny for that long. I felt sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I still do get sad sometimes. And, sometimes I, you know, maybe beat myself up about choices I've made and why I made them. But then I go into this like guilt cycle of like, well, you can't be sad about it because then you would never have your daughter. And then you feel bad and you're like, no, I love my daughter. And it's just a whole like beating yourself up thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible. It's terrible. It's hard. I even thought like weird things, you know, people who, weren't in my life anymore, I'm sure heard about my divorce. And I wonder if they're just like, oh, good, you know, good for her. You know, look at Elise, she's failing in life. And I'm just so mad because I'm like, I'm not, you know, because they don't know the story. But, you know, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. However, I don't know. It was just those thoughts that just are so irrational. Like, who cares what someone I used to be friends with thinks, mm-hmm. you know? But I was just, I don't know. And divorce is very hard.
Yeah. People think marriage is hard. Divorce is so much harder, especially when you have children.
Yeah.
Because they don't get to leave your life. Like, you get married and you choose to love this person unconditionally every day for the rest of your life. So you think, and then you get divorced and they're still in your life forever.
Yes.
And then you don't love them.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I keep someone in my life and like have this healthy, beneficial relationship with someone I don't love?
Yes.
And essentially sometimes can hate, like, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean,
oh,
marriage, yeah. It's like you have this underlying, like, I love them. They do this. There's this, they make me feel this way. We can work through this. But divorce, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. And then you're tied to them forever. And you have to put aside all of your feelings and your emotions because your kid comes.
The dynamic and relationship when my divorce first happened with both sides of the family, including Brian and I, you would never, ever imagine that we would be where we are now. And like, if you're in the thick of that, the drama and the anxiety and stress and just the awfulness of that, it is possible. It's not everyone's story, but it is mine, which is insane because of how awful the divorce went, that you can, when adults act like adults and they're, you know, not being toxic. And I'm not saying these specific people were being toxic, but we all chose to put the children first. And we put, you know, our issues with each other aside. We worked through them on our own and sometimes together and talked about it and talked and talked and talked and had hard conversations that sucked. Essentially because I wanted this divorce to bring more opportunities and blessings and love to my girl's life rather than the opposite. So getting divorced was going to benefit our life and not ruin it. And it was going to benefit them and not, they weren't going to lose anything. They were going to gain more from this divorce. And so that's, you know, what has happened a year later. I would say my relationship with his parents is better than it was when we were married. You know, there's still boundaries are huge and important that we've set in place that we never really had before. And we can coexist and do birthdays and holidays and love each other and go through really hard stuff like my mom dying and them stepping up. And, you know, Debbie is their only grandparent, and where I would normally feel like I lost a mom in a divorce, and now I've lost my mom and I would be momless, I don't feel that way. I feel like I still have a mom, a mother-in-law. I still call her my mother-in-law. You know, that doesn't have to be, that might not be everyone's story, but it can be if you do the hard stuff and you have the hard conversations and everyone's willing and open to do that. Some people aren't. Right. And those who aren't, you know, I don't know what that's like on my end.
Yeah. And I still, you know, talk to my, my in-laws. I still have a pretty good relationship with them, cousins, you know, his cousins, his siblings, his mom, his aunts, because they're just probably some of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my entire life. So that was definitely part of it. Like, I was so sad to be losing that, you know, and I know they've reached out and have told me that I will always be their family, and I believe them, but you know, it's just like some hard shit, man. Now I'm just entering the really scary stage about, after we sell the house, and I fear about, you know, Felicity does not acclimate well to change at all. And this is the only home she's known. And yeah, I get really nervous about that and, you know, about how that's going to go. So, but, you know, I'm also really excited. I'm really excited to, you know, find my own home and do with it what I want. And I'm excited about, you know, dating. I mean, as much as you can be excited about, there's a difference now, you know, dating now than it was before I was married. And we'll do a whole episode about dating, a few episodes. And like I said, these are not all going to be this heavy. We're not going to have that many heavy topics. I want to do a balance between fun and heavy. This was a heavy topic, but we're both divorced and, you know, maybe someone can learn something from it. So I guess my advice would be, I know it sounds so cliche, but communication is so important. So, so important. And you both have to be communicators and you both have to try. And marriage is work, but it shouldn't be that hard. you know, my marriage was hard work on my part and I was exhausted a lot. It shouldn't be that hard. You know, and that if you really want to try, you'll try everything you can. You go to therapy together. You know, just choose to love one another every single day, because when that stops, physical intimacy is super important. You know, Felicity never saw us hug or kiss or cuddle or hold hands or any of that. And I didn't want her to grow up like that either. You know, I wanted her to know what love sounds like and what it looks like. And she didn't hear or see any of that, you know, and it just makes me super sad, but excited about doing it right this time. And, you know, I hope that he finds someone that meets him where he is, because it's the whole cups analogy, you know, the whole, everybody has like a certain size cup. And if someone has a bigger cup and someone has a smaller cup, if I'm pouring all of me into someone that has a smaller cup, then that's too much. But if they're pouring all of themselves into me and it's smaller, then it's not enough for me. So in the end, make sure that you're with your size cup. So you never feel too much or you never feel not enough, because it should never feel like that. Well, I think it's also important, and, you know, a few of the techniques that I learned, you know, through my schooling and jobs and stuff, it's, you know, when you get into a fight about something and then you solve that something, that fight, you don't bring that fight into a later fight. You know, it's just not fair. It's done and yeah. It's not fair fighting.
Yeah, we haven't had a fight yet, so... I mean, he kind of annoyed me this morning, but, you know, I also like woke up discombobulated. So
that was pretty hilarious. Yeah. So that would be one of my bigger, and then the whole, it makes me feel like when this happens, so you're not defensive. So it makes me feel sad when, you know, you blah, 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 or when you said this. So it takes out the defensiveness of someone. And then I also had a lot of times where I just sat there with him when we weren't fighting and I just said, hey, is there anything that bothers you or something I can do better or change, you know, just to see, you know, again, I said, I put a lot of work into this and,
yeah,
you know, it was always no,
yeah,
no, you know, and I would say several times that if this ends up not working, you can never say to someone when they ask you why you got divorced, I don't know.
Yeah.
Cause I was always clear about my needs and desires. And, you know, I was very clear because I communicate.
Yeah.
So
communication is definitely key. Like find someone you can actually communicate with. I think maybe where I failed in a lot of areas, but one thing that my mentality has changed that I would go into a new marriage is that and this is going to sound really bad as mom to not do this next time, but I feel like that's where our marriage kind of just started to crumble, where I could have maybe stepped in and fixed it. Is my kids came first always. My marriage never came first. I never, if it was kids or him, it was kids. And I feel like yes, there's a time when kids are young that like they need to be first, but that relationship with your spouse needs to be protected and cultivated and respected and worked at as well as your children. And my children triumphed over my marriage, and you know, that created, I think, a lot of problems with him and the kids, maybe I don't really know. I can't speak on his behalf, but I feel like there was probably a lot of bitterness there. For me, it was like, that wasn't even on my radar. Like if it was go on a date or hang out with, or be with the kids, we were going to be with the kids. Like, it, you know, so for me, I think I would change that priority, not in the sense that he's no one will ever be more important than my kids in a sense. But
there's
that relationship. Yeah.
You know,
and eventually like kids grow up, they move out. And if you've never, you know, put your spouse first, there's going to be this, you know, gap in your relationship and this hole in your relationship when your kids are gone. And then you got to like start all over with your marriage from like day one, if you've spent 18 years not investing in it. So, I mean, yeah. Date your spouse, I guess. I mean, again, I'm no expert. I've failed in a lot of areas, but I do know that he was not at the top of the list. It was kids. I mean, and we had, you know, a child with special needs. So at times like that was important, and newborn and two under two, but I guess when you want something, you also put in the effort. So maybe that was just with me. We knew we didn't want it, so we didn't really try.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people that are listening, you know, they could be listening, you know, they're married and just maybe as a, you know, well, how do I not get divorced? Yeah. Or what, you know, what advice that I'm just thinking myself. And, you know, if I were to come across a podcast, I would listen to it and say, okay, you know, it's kind of nice to hear what went wrong.
Yeah.
So that way you can kind of look at your own self and your relationship, and make sure that you're doing what you need to do and using the tools that you have. So I think that's good. And, our next episode will then be about dating,
single mom life,
single mom and dating. It's going to be fun. Now that one, see, this one was kind of heavy, but the next one is to
light and fluffy and fun.
Yeah. And lots of good details. Y'all will hear about that and the good dates and the bad dates. And well, I mean, I told them that we're going to get down and dirty. Yeah. First dates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only dates.
And yes, only dates. And how differently I date now than I did before. So it'll be lots of fun. Yeah. So thanks for listening. And I can't wait to entertain chat
with you next week.
Yes. Yeah. And don't forget to click my link in my bio to submit topics you want covered or advice that you need or secrets that you want to share. And we are sponsored by Rose and Grace. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook, by my upcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild, and by the nonprofit Never Alone at North. Go give them some love. They do really good things for the teens there at that school, and they hope to inspire other high schools across the country to do something similar. So don't forget to show them love.